Okay, the second case this series, number 21-1840, New Current Incorporated against Samsung Electronics Company Limited. Again, Mr. Milliken.
Thank you. May it please the court. Before I get into the merits, a brief word on our form selection clause argument. We acknowledge that it's foreclosed by the precedential CANU decision. We respectfully submit that CANU was wrongly decided for the reasons Judge Newman stated in your dissent. But since this argument's foreclosed by circuit precedent, I won't address it further unless the panel has questions, which I'm, of course, happy to answer. So, to the merits. This court should reverse the board's holding that Claim 36 is unpatentable. I'll begin with obviousness, and then I will move to anticipation and indefiniteness. Chang is not analogous art. The claimed invention of the patents in question concerns inductors that couple external magnetic flux in order to wirelessly transfer energy. Chang, in contrast, concerns inductors that couple their own magnetic flux in order to block the transmission of energy. Those are diametrically opposed goals. And in fact, Chang's inductors are not capable of transferring energy because they're contained within a shield of non-conductive ferrite. And I would note that as a factual matter, there's no dispute about this aspect of Chang. Samsung's expert, Dr. Baker, admitted that Chang, quote, just doesn't do energy transfer, end quote. And so I would submit that this case is on all fours with N. Ray Klein. The patent there claimed a container with movable dividers that was used for mixing nectar ingredients. And this court, on substantial evidence review, reversed the board's finding that prior art disclosing containers with stationary dividers was analogous, because the court said that art was directed to a different purpose than the claimed invention. And a similar conclusion is appropriate here. Chang's inductors and the inductors of the claimed invention are used in different applications, and they're designed to achieve very different and, indeed, opposite purposes. I think that this case is also very similar to N. Ray Clay.
Do you want to address Song in anticipation?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm happy to move to that. So the issue in dispute for Song is quite narrow. It's are the coil strands 115A and 115B that are on either side of the substrate in some second embodiment, are they connected in series or are they connected in parallel? We submit that the only correct reading of Song is a reading that they are connected in series. And there are three reasons for that.
What are we supposed to do with this? Song's express disclosure that both ends of each of the coil strands, 115A and 115B, are electrically connected to each other to thereby entirely form a parallel circuit, combined with the expert testimony that what that means is that they are in parallel as required by the claims.
So the way we read it, Your Honor, is that the strands making up 115A are connected in parallel, and then the strands making up 115B
are... I understand, but think about the substantial standard, and we've got an expert looking at express disclosure that sounds like it's the claim limitation, right? And then an expert explaining what that means in a reasonable way. And the only question is whether a reasonable fact finder could have found that Song teaches this claim element.
I understand, Your Honor, and I think that in the typical case where you have a disclosure that's arguably ambiguous about whether it discloses the limitation or not, that is the type of thing that would be affirmed on substantial evidence review. I think, however, though, that in this case, the three reasons that we've provided for why the layers are connected in series sort of carry the day here. And the first one is because when... Everywhere else, other than the disputed paragraph 108, where Sung uses the term parallel, it's using it to talk about strands within a single layer. And it analogizes to Litz wire, which is a similar concept, that you have multiple strands in one layer that make up sort of one inductor.
But even if the board had credited that, 108 could be enough to make Sung anticipating. Isn't that right?
I think that that's true. I don't. If all we had was that elsewhere it uses parallel to talk about strands within a single layer, then I think I would agree with that the board's reading of paragraph 108. But we have more than that here. We also have that figure 6 displays only a single via, and it's undisputed that a single via can be used only to create a series connection. It cannot be used to create a parallel connection. And tellingly, I think in order to argue that there are actually two vias that connect 115A and 115B in parallel, Samsung's expert had to create basically a new figure that's not in Sung, that drew on an extra via where Sung does not say that there's one. And then the final reason, which is in some sense I think perhaps the clearest, is that if you plug the relevant values that Sung gives you for its circuit into the governing equations, you get that the number of coil turns is equivalent to what it would be if it were a series connection. And Samsung doesn't, in their briefing, they don't really respond to this on the merits. They say that we cherry-picked the numbers, but as we showed in our reply brief, you can really use any reasonable assumptions and you still get the answer that it is a series connection rather than a parallel one. Their principal response is a waiver argument. But we presented the evidence of the equation to the board. This point was argued at the oral hearing. While it was argued in less detail than we have here on appeal, we think that what we did below was sufficient to preserve the argument under the William Wrigley case cited in our brief.
Is there even a single application of that calculation before the board, or just reference generally to the equation?
We did not walk the board through the calculation. That's correct, Your Honor.
Did you think that they would do it, or how did you think they would understand your point? Did you think that they could figure it out just from knowing those equations?
Well, we didn't explicitly walk the board through the math, but we did make the point at the oral hearing that Sung's paragraph 112 gives you these values, and we have these equations that you can use to calculate the effective number of turns, given that you know the coil diameter, the inductance, et cetera. If there are no additional questions on anticipation, I'll move briefly to indefiniteness.
Yes, please do.
Thank you, Your Honor. So I think that the key point to recognize...
Just a quick question first before you go there.
Yes.
Am I correct in understanding that if we affirm on any of these grounds, obviousness, anticipation, or indefineness, that resolves the...
That's correct. Any one of the grounds would be dispositive. Yes, Your Honor. I think that the key point to recognize on indefiniteness is that Samsung's anticipation arguments and the board's anticipation analysis effectively defined the claim scope of the configured for use limitation. They said that this limitation is disclosed in the prior art because there is prior art disclosing antennas that are capable of being used for wireless power transfer at a frequency of 110 to 205 kilohertz. And because that anticipation analysis defined the scope of the claim, we think that that resolves the indefiniteness issue in our favor. Now, the board principally focused on the fact that the specification doesn't explicitly tell you what physical characteristics would the inductor need in order to function as an antenna and wireless power transfer at this frequency. But what that analysis ignores is the background analysis or the background understanding of a person of ordinary skill in the art. And our expert explained that a person of skill in the art would be able to tell when presented with a given inductor whether it could work to wirelessly transfer power at a frequency of 110 to 205 kilohertz. And Samsung's expert, Dr. Baker, did this effectively as well. For example, when analyzing the prior art Partovi reference, he looked at it and he said, yes, based on what Partovi discloses, I can tell this would work in wireless power transfer at 110 to 205 kilohertz.
That's pretty broad, right? 110 to 205. It seems to me that the claim limitation might be broad, but maybe not indefinite.
So I don't believe that there was a factual finding or that I'm thinking of right now, testimony one way or another on the
breadth. You're arguing that the claim's not indefinite.
No, right? Yes. No, I 100% agree with you. My point was going to be, even if the limitation is broad, that breadth is not indefiniteness. And I think here that so Samsung criticized our expert's analysis as being sort of effectively, oh, well, I know it when I see it. I know if an inductor can work in wireless power transfer at this frequency. We don't think that's a fair characterization of his testimony, but even if it were, that's the same type of evidence that this court found sufficient to impart definiteness to a claim in cases like Nevro, where the claim was directed to an apparatus that could generate a paresthesia-free signal in a patient, and there was evidence that, well, you could test this on a given patient and tell whether they experience paresthesia or not. We have a similar situation here, although, in fact, I would say our case is a stronger definiteness case than Nevro because the sensation of paresthesia is relatively subjective, whereas here you have an objective question about does the antenna work to wirelessly transfer power at this frequency or not. If there are further questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear from the other side. Mr. Modi.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'll focus on the merits. As to the merits, the claims at issue, the Board found them unpatentable on three independent bases, just Stoll, as you recognize. If the Court agrees with any of those bases, we believe each of them is supported by the Board's well-reasoned decision, this Court should affirm. And for today's argument, I'd like to focus on just the Sung anticipation issue. I'm obviously happy to address any questions you may have on any of the other issues. We do believe that's dispositive and supported by substantial evidence. So if you look at what the Board did with respect to the Sung anticipation issue, the sole issue here is whether the coils 115A and 115B in Sung's figure 6 embodiment are connected in parallel. The Board looked at the Sung reference itself. It looked at the testimony from both sides' expert, including Samsung's expert, Dr. Baker. It credited that testimony. And this is what the Board said at the end of its decision, and this is at Appendix 67. Having reviewed the evidence of record, we conclude that petitioner's anticipation position regarding Sung's disclosure, as explained by petitioner's expert, is better supported than patent owner's position. We think that should end the inquiry here. That is the epitome of a decision that's supported by substantial evidence. In fact, Judge Stoll and Judge Stark, as you pointed out, paragraph 108 is dispositive in this case. It's very clear on its face. Even if you had any doubts, there was testimony supported by Dr. Baker. You can find that at Appendix 4357 to 4361. Again, testimony that the Board credited. They complained that Dr. Baker had a figure that he annotated from Sung. That's certainly allowed for experts to do, certainly when it's supported by the evidence, and that was the case here. So we do believe that Sung more than anticipates this claim, and the Board's decision is supported by substantial evidence. Unless the Court has any questions, I am happy to give the rest of the time back to the Court.
What about the math argument? If we were to say it was not forfeited, is it a problem for your side on this anticipation question?
No, Judge Stark, it's not. And I'm glad you asked me about that. So it's for a couple of reasons. If you look at, again, our view is paragraph 108 is enough by itself. Again, that's more than substantial evidence to support the Board's decision. But what did they do the math, Your Honor? As you pointed out and as Judge Stoll pointed out, there was no discussion of this math. The equation was certainly provided by their expert. Nowhere did they below provide all the calculations that they do here. But I think the most important point is this, that they made assumptions that are simply not supported by Sung. For example, they said this would be a square coil. Well, nowhere does Sung disclose that. In fact, if you looked at the PCB, the substrate, it's rectangular. So they made reason, they made assumptions that we believe are not supported by the Sung reference. Those were cherry picked to arrive at their conclusions on appeal. And again, that's should not be allowed. And even if this court were to look at it, we believe that's enough evidence, and those assumptions are just not supported, and this court can disregard the math. So, unless you have any other questions, we ask that the court affirm.
Mr. Moody, you are sitting down. I assume that you then agree with the other points made by your friend on the other side.
No, Your Honor, I do not. We believe the board's decision. I'm happy to address them on the Chang reference being analogous art, and on indefiniteness. We fully believe the board got both of those issues right. They're supported by the evidence in both of the with respect to both of those issues. For example, I'll just maybe spend 1 minute since you asked Judge Newman with respect to analogous art issue. I think what's key here is if you look at the Chang patent and the 960 patent, they're in the same international U.S. patent class and subclasses, and you can find that at Appendix 631 and Appendix 2682. This court construes analogous art broadly, and again, the board's findings with respect to analogous art, both on the field of endeavor and on the reasonable pertinent test, they're more than supported by substantial evidence. Those are factual findings, and we would ask the court affirm. With respect to indefiniteness, I think you don't need to look beyond their expert's testimony. With respect to indefiniteness, he used terms like when he was deposed and asked about the boundaries of the claim. He used words like, well, this is a judgment call. You can find that at Appendix 3996, pages 66, 8 to 15. He said, well, he could not tell us whether 50% flux coupling is sufficient for the antenna to be configured for wireless power transfer. So when you have testimony from the expert that cannot define the boundaries of the claim, that's per se indefinite. So we do believe the board's decisions with respect to those issues are also well supported. Again, unless Your Honor has have any other questions, I'm more than happy to address anything else that may be on your mind.
Any more questions for counsel?
No.
No.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Moody.
Thank you.
Mr. Milliken.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'll just make three very brief points, one on each issue. As to indefiniteness, I think this case is on all fours with Nevro because there is unrebutted testimony that a person of ordinary skill in the art could tell when presented with a given inductor whether it can function in wireless power transfer at the claimed frequency. I think this case is also similar to this court's decision in Honeywell, where the claim required a local color display that had perceptible color. And this court said, well, that's enough to be definite because someone can tell if color is perceptible. Just so here, a skilled artisan could tell if the antenna would work in wireless power transfer. On obviousness, I would just again reiterate the comparison to this court's decisions in Klein and Clay. We discussed those cases at length in our briefing. Samsung did not substantively respond. We think we are on all four with those cases, and that even though this is a factual issue, the court's reasoning finding clear error or lack of substantial evidence in those cases counsels in favor of finding the same here. And finally, as to anticipation, I think if the court concludes that the argument about the mathematical equation is properly before it, then I think that essentially resolves the case because we have run the calculation with many, many assumptions. There's no cherry picking here, and that's explained in our reply brief. And there has been no response from Samsung on the merits. I think in response to your question, Judge Stark, my friend on the other side basically focused on the forfeiture point, which we think is incorrect under the William Wrigley case for the reasons I explained in my opening arguments. I'm happy to answer any further questions you have. Otherwise, I will cede the balance of my time.
Any questions for counsel?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is submitted.